Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you, and I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 089 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on September 23rd, 2012, and brought to you by Raptor Picks USA. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. This week, there will be one student in the student spotlight. The question of the week is from a former student who returned home to South Africa. News is about the Black Royale Limited Edition Collection from Epiphone. And the Take Notes segment is a tip for creating that ethereal sound that the old Strum Rose picks used to afford the players who use them. I hope your week was better than mine. It was a week full of minor disasters, not the least of which was my iPhone's death by Joe. Not a dude, Joe. Joe like Morning Joe coffee. I'm not even going to go there right now. It stings a little too much. Suffice it to say, when you're distracted and do things by rote, you shouldn't handle expensive electronics. I know I never will again. Then, Feedburner stopped syndicating the feeds for this podcast and the show notes. Not just for this podcast, but for a lot of podcasts and show notes and blogs. And I might even be misspeaking here. I don't know that they're stopping syndicating, but account holders that use Feedburner to syndicate their media do not have access as of the last few days to any files and stats and things that are really necessary to do this kind of thing. So I haven't decided how I'm going to work around that. For the immediate future, I will ask you to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or listen to it on the podcast page of the website, which is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled the traditional way, which is guitartechniquetutor.com. Now, if you usually subscribe to the show notes via a reader that has been populated by Feedburner, you probably won't be seeing those come over your your reader list. I will put an email form on the podcast page and I'll send you the show notes each time I post them. I will find or create something comparable to Feedburner to distribute the show and the show notes as soon as possible, but that may not be solved this week. Too much on the plate right now. Sorry about the change. I was totally unprepared for it, and if they had put out some kind of notice on their blog, that's my fault because I don't usually read Feedburner's blog. It's not up to me. I'm not the queen of Feedburnerdom, so this is just a little glitch. So please, if you listen ordinarily and receive the audio of this show by some other means than iTunes or on my podcast page of the website, please use those manners or methods for the time being. And as soon as this is solved, I will update you on that. On Wednesday, a day we had some strange storms here, such that one of my students had to cancel her lesson because she had no power, I had offered to take my student Amber, who is the daughter of a good friend, to see the Gibson bus at the Mawa Day celebration, which was going to be held Saturday, that would be yesterday from when I'm recording. Without going into detail, we left it that if she wanted to see it, she'd call me. I didn't get a call yesterday, so I didn't even go over to see it, and I'm glad. A good friend emailed that she was going over to the field at which Mawa Day festivities were being held and asked if I was going to be there, or if I was there already. I replied that if Amber didn't call, I wasn't going, but I asked her to take a look and see if there were many people at the Gibson bus. She replied that she didn't even see the bus. And she's not stupid or anything. I mean, she's seen the bus there before and knows what it looks like and knows where it usually is parked. So I thought the bus must have parked at the museum to have close proximity to the Les Paul exhibit rather than at the main staging ground. Just to be sure, before I tweeted anything, I called the museum only to find out that the driver got sick and couldn't make it all the way to Mahwah. The person I spoke to made it sound like maybe he became ill en route. Of course, I Facebooked and tweeted about the bus being at the field the day before, so I had to get right on social media to rectify the bum dope I had disseminated. That is never fun. I hate giving out incorrect information. Speaking of the museum, the Les Paul and Mahwah Museum exhibit will be open through June 2013 on weekends and Wednesdays from 1 to 5 p.m. The exhibit will allow visitors to learn about the essential facts of Les Paul's life and career. It has sections on invention and innovation, a display of one-of-a-kind precious guitars made especially for Les, enthusiastic support from many famous current-day artists, a recreation of the studio in which Les did his work, a performance space where at special times patrons can make a donation and play one of Les's guitars, and many hands-on video and audio displays. If you visit, you can learn how this creative genius transformed rock, country music, and jazz. See how he and Mary performed for their weekly radio from their home in Mahwah. Try to imagine the world without sound-on-sound recording and a time before there was the Les Paul guitar. You'll get a taste of that when you experience this exhibit. The museum is located at 201 Franklin Turnpike in Mahwah, New Jersey. And as I said, it's open weekends and Wednesdays from 1 to 5. Admission is $5, and if you're a museum member or you're a child under 12, you get in for free. You can visit their website or call them at 201-512-0099 for more information. The day after I recorded last week's show, my Thank You Les bundle came. It was the deluxe package, a CD, a DVD, a little booklet with tracks and artists and photos, and a few pages by Steve Miller. And, of course, I got a Thank You Les pick. Well, actually, I got the producer to send me an extra one. For who else? Tina of Tina's Picks. And Lou Palo also signed the case in which the whole set came in. It's really beautifully done and should be in every musician's library. Order yours, whether it's your personal genre or not. It's a really great tribute to Les Paul musically. You'd think after all the unpleasantness of the week, I'd have changed all my guitar's strings just to vanquish the invading downers. But I didn't have the opportunity. Maybe I could have used the time spent in the Apple Store to do it, but that time was consumed with getting a replacement device. And of course, it was too early for me to be eligible for an upgrade to the iPhone 5. I'm not buying it for the non-upgrade price. When I'm ready for an upgrade or eligible for the upgrade discount, the iPhone 6 is probably going to be available. So I don't have an issue. I like my phone. I really like my phone now that it's brand new, and I mourn the loss of the heretofore drowned former phone. Well, just one design note. I'm really glad that the back of the iPhone 6 is aluminum. That's really a long time overdue. The phone is great, and if they have found a way to keep it cool with an aluminum back and take some of the weight off of it, I think it's fabulous. That's been the only thing that I didn't like about my iPhone is the weight. I think it just is a little too clunky. But that's going to be taken care of next time I upgrade. Well, after a brief word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks USA, we're going to move on to this week's Student Spotlight. Once in a great while, something comes along that's literally revolutionary. The Raptor R-Series guitar pick is just such a creation. It affords its user a sublime quartet of sounds which can be summoned with a mere rotation of the brilliantly designed Raptor pick. Not only is it a beautifully executed, ingenious idea, but the first experience of playing with it is almost impossible to describe because it's so different from anything you've ever employed. Get past the unusual feel of the Raptor guitar pick, and the door to faster, cleaner, and more creative playing swings wide open. Your grip will be sure, your attack will be silent, your projection will be enhanced. Add to that the technology that enables the pick to glide over your strings rather than bluntly striking them, and the genuine Raptor R-Series pick stands alone as an asset to every guitarist who uses one. Seasoned pro, this pick allows for more subtle differences of expression because of the variety of timbres it produces. Intermediate recreational guitarist, improve your sound by upgrading your pick. Rank beginner, prime your creativity right from the outset. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at RaptorPicksUSA.com. Free Raptors with the purchase of 4 or more is just another way of spreading the excellence, one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. In the warm glow of the student spotlight this week is Danielle. She's working on a cool guitar transcription of some Miyazaki movie music, which I have only heard done on piano. It's just a great project, and she's totally enthused about it. And it's hard, so that's a good thing. Danielle is an interesting person and musician. Her taste is unusual, and when she really likes something, she applies herself well. She literally throws herself into it. Danielle, you're only recently returned to the world of ho-hum and every day, having taken the whole summer off, but I really like what I see. It portends a great year ahead of us. So stay with it. I hope that we're going to be doing more interesting transcriptions and you're going to enjoy playing them, as well as knowing you're among a very elite few, if any, that are doing this particular music. It's terrific. And she's not working from a book. I should add this. I saw some comments about music that you could actually purchase, and it just looked like people were too disappointed in what the music was. So we're using some piano music and making a really interesting guitar transcription. So it's going to be great. Congratulations, Danielle, and I hope that I see some other students with their proverbial noses to the grindstone and tackling a great project like this in the near future. Keep it up, sweetie. You did a great job. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question came in by email from a former student who was here from South Africa as an au pair a few years ago. It was great to hear from her. I'm so happy she's doing well. Her question was, I hate doing alternate tunings. Is there anything I can do to avoid them? That's a good question. I recall that you never liked alternate tuning your guitar when we had lessons. I can't answer this question to your complete liking, but I can make a few recommendations. If the alternate tuning is just to accommodate a vocalist, use a capo to change the key in which you're playing. That's the simplest fix for a lot of not complex music issues. Although the accompaniment, if it's not original, may sound different from the recording, if there is one, as long as you're playing the correct chords according to how you've placed the capo, it will be fine. The capo's really a handy invention. If you're playing in drop D, and I remember you didn't like it back in the day, you can transpose your music to either the key of C or key of E. That's only a whole step higher or lower, so it won't sound too far off from the original. If you can live with that, that's a good alternative. If what you're playing requires a totally wonky open tuning, and you can't afford to have a separate guitar permanently tuned and ready to play without having to do all that fiddling, seriously consider transposing or transposing and using a capo. Or If you have to record this music, use some post-production software to alter the sound. Tedious? It may be, depending on your technical level and what program you're using, but not nearly as challenging as playing in some crazy open tuning unless you're playing it from tabs. Tab, in that case, may be just what you need to slog through. Naturally, I'd rather your ear be guiding your fingers rather than your ability to count frets, but when you're alternately tuned, it takes a good bit of playing to recenter your ear, which then recenters your finger reflexes. So it really requires time, and especially if you're only going to play in little snippets of time and not solely play in this alternate tuning, it's problematic, and I can completely relate. If you're playing a lead line with little harmony or very small chords, you might want to leave your guitar in standard tuning and just work out what the fingerings need to be for the music in question. It may not turn out wonderful. It may turn out that it's a little out there as far as some fingerings you may need to do. But if you are dead set on not retuning, this is the best suggestion I can give you. My advice to you listeners who are on the fence about alternate tuning is try it without preconceptions and negative attitudes. One of the glories of a stringed instrument is that it is so laden with creative possibilities. I hope most of you take advantage of all the possibilities that await you there. So, Asha, thanks for the question, and take a deep breath and choose the suggestion that's right for you. And you know, you can always email me and confer with me. And if we need to, let's Skype and get you on the road. I don't like the idea of you being frustrated with your guitar. If you have a question that you would like me to address on the podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. That's guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Thanks again, Asha. Now, here's this week's news. News this week is from our good friends at Epiphone. It is about their limited edition Epiphone Black Royale collection. The Epiphone Black Royale collection brings together some of Epiphone's most iconic electric guitars, from vintage standards to new twists on old favorites, all with a beautiful black pearl, fine metallic color finish with silver sparkle binding. No other guitar manufacturer can boast of such a collection that combines classic looks, vintage tone, and modern construction. But most importantly, the Black Royale collection is Epiphone's salute to its many fans, a sincere thank you to Epiphone players around the world who think of Epiphone as their very own instrument company. The six guitars in this line are absolutely beauties. The Black Royale collection features the classic .ES-335 style electric that is both a rock and roll and jazz standard, the ES-339 Pro with Alnico Classic Pro humbuckers and push-pull coil tapping on each pickup, the radical and ultra-cool Riviera Custom P93 featuring three P90R pickups, the stunning Emperor Swingster with Swingbucker Plus humbuckers, series parallel wiring, and Bigsby tremolo, the groundbreaking Wildcat with P90S and Bigsby tremolo, and of course, the Les Paul Standard featuring Alnico Classic Plus humbuckers. All of the Black Royale collection features Epiphone's all-metal hardware, Grover kidney-style 14-to-1 machine heads, and full-function volume and tone knobs using full-size 500K potentiometers. Each member of the Black Royale collection offers players timeless quality and a combination of vintage feel and modern styling that goes with every kind of music. It's easy to imagine these instruments hanging in the window of a neighborhood instrument store in 1958 or 68, but with features like coil tapping, Alnico Classic Pro humbuckers, right-on intonation, and all-metal hardware, the Black Royale collection could only be made today. Right now. If you're an Epiphone fan, you probably have more than one Epiphone instrument at home. Now make room for the Black Royale collection. Be part of Epiphone's history and let Epiphone be a part of yours. Look for the Epiphone Black Royale edition, and my guess is that they aren't going to last long. Are you thinking about a new axe for you or someone you love for Christmas, Hanukkah, or an upcoming birthday? You might want to make this purchase now and put it away. I don't think these are going to last long because they're beautiful. I'm a sucker for black and silver almost as much as I'm a sucker for red. So the color and design details of this whole line impress me a lot. And that the black isn't just lacquer black or flat black, that it's this metallic-y, pearly black, I admit the visual appeal figures considerably for me. The price points are right in line, and here's what I think the price range is. For the Swingster, it lists for $1,250 with a street price of about $750. The Wildcat lists for $582, and its street price is about $350. The Les Paul Standard lists for $750, and its street price is about $450. The Riviera Custom P93 lists for $915, and its street price is about $550. The Dot ES335 lists for $750, and its street is about $450. And the ES339 Pro has a list of $750 with a street of about $450. These are great prices for limited edition guitars that have a good reputation for quality. As gorgeous as these are, I would make one design change. Now, this is my personal thing. I know I've mentioned this on this podcast many times. They're black, metallic, beautiful guitars. I'd use ebony on the fingerboard rather than rosewood. Visually, it would be far more beautiful for me. Besides that, I like the feel and the speed and the snap on an ebony board. I know it's more difficult to maintain. And if a tech isn't careful when they're doing a fret job, they can do a lot of damage to an ebony fingerboard rather than the more forgiving rosewood. And that difficulty results in loss of revenue if the board repairs have to be done or redone in warranty. So I can understand why they're steering away from ebony, but dudes, kick the price up and make them ebony. This definitely should have been an ebony fingerboard on this guitar. The rosewood visually disturbs me, and I don't like how, it's not resistant, how the roughness of rosewood does not allow your fingers to, I don't think it allows your fingertips to move quite as quickly. It's really splitting hairs, but I think when you're a speed player, it makes a big difference. If you're indifferent about the board wood used on your axe, definitely check out these beautiful Black Royale guitars. I will post as many specs as I can on the show notes. And don't forget, try to check the show notes out online on my podcast page, because Feedburner may or may not syndicate them for me this week. Now, let's move along to this week's Take Note segment. My take note topic this week is what I hope will be good news to those of you listeners who have only heard about and seen photos of an old, no longer available novelty pick called the Strum Rose. I have one of these dinosaurs, and don't email or call asking me to sell it to you. It's not for sale at any price. I'm frequently on various guitar sites that have discussion boards, and when the Strum Rose comes up, there always seems to be interest. If you haven't ever heard of it, the idea was to create a pick with multiple plectrums to approximate the sound or give the impression of the sound of a 12-string guitar for six-string players. Of course, you didn't have that whole chorus of octaves above the traditional tuning, but you did get that fuller sound, like a few guitars playing at the same time, maybe. That pick hasn't been made or available for ages. I know because I had a student that wanted one so much after I allowed her to play with mine during her lesson, I checked everywhere and came up empty. Now, that being said, there may be someone who has purchased the contents of a closed guitar shop that has new old stock sitting around and some Strum Roses among that new old stock. That I can't say, but I have never been able to find them online anywhere. Sometimes you'll find someone who will trade you one for something. But more than likely, the ones still extant are few. Some chord progressions sound great with the kind of multiplicity the Strum Rose offered. So there I was, maybe about a week ago, maybe it was a little bit more, and I was playing and thinking about my Strum Rose, which is usually in my work bag, which lives in my car. Here in the apartment, Raptors are the only picks that I use these days. Eureka! I got the idea that a Raptor guitar pick could give the flavor of a Strum Rose with perhaps not quite as much depth, but pretty close, owing to its peculiar molded edges. I gave it a try, and it was excellent. I'm going to tell you how to do this if you have a Raptor pick, and then I'm going to just give you a little audio sample of a Raptor in a traditional way, the Strum Rose, and then my Raptor a la Strum Rose configuration. If you have a Raptor pick and would like to try to use it as this Strum Rose facsimile, what you're going to do is you're going to be picking with two of the tips of the pick. I recommend using either of the larger lobes. There's a middle size lobe or tip, and there's a large one. Either one of those should be the side of the pick that you lead with, and then use the pointy tip to be the follower. So hold the pick on a diagonal to the strings, so as you strum, the larger of the tips you're using to play with strikes the strings first, and the pointy tip strikes it later. It's just the airy, dreamy quality that works so well with certain, major 7 chord progressions and other ethereal sounding music. I tried the same exercise with a traditional pick, but that was a fail. Here's a straight Raptor single tip traditional playing of just a little chord progression, and I'm a little close to the mic, so I hope there isn't too much feedback. So here's the traditional Raptor sound of one of its lobes. Pleasant enough. I like it. Here's the same progression with the Strum Rose. Definitely a difference. Well, here's, for all of the Strum Rose frustrated people, here's a Raptor using one of the curvy lobes as the lead lobe or tip, and the pointy tip as the follower. It's not quite Strum Rose, but it's pretty close. Not bad, huh? Considering here's without the double pointed attack, and here's with the double pointed attack, it enhances it a bit. It's not quite Strum Rose. If you had or lost your Strum Rose and have lived as an unrequited guitarist for eons, try the slanted Raptor move, and you may be surprised at how similar it sounds. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 089. Following a short word from my sponsor, you know who, Raptor Picks USA, we'll move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Here are four descriptions of genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks with which I wholeheartedly agree. Tools for the creative. From the moment you pick up the Raptor R-Series, it's obvious a great deal of thought has gone into its design, and from the second you touch a string with it, you can both feel and hear the difference between a Raptor and other picks you've tried. Beautiful and tactile. Genuine R-Series Raptors have three carefully sculpted picking tips. They've been created using the same sophisticated design and modeling techniques employed to produce Formula One racing cars, and the result of this design effort means that they've been able to take the humble pick to a completely new level of performance. Absolutely amazing! Each picking tip forms complex curves designed to glide effortlessly over your guitar's strings. Raptors produce clean tones with almost imperceptible attack that range from that of the brightest, thinnest pick through to the warm, rich tones normally associated with the much thicker picks. The pursuit of excellence. All genuine Raptor R-Series picks are subject to very strict quality control procedures. Each R-Series plectrum is precision molded from high-grade acrylic, then individually printed and inspected to ensure it meets their high standards prior to leaving their UK-based factory. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with a purchase of four or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor Picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. I really hope there's some delicious DRs in my near future. Don't forget to get your tickets to the 2nd Annual Les Paul Tribute Concert at Ramapo College on Saturday, September 29th. The theater is teensy-weensy, so call when you hear this if you want to go. Les Paul in Mahwah is open at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 5. You've really got to go. Congrats, Danielle. I love what you're working with and working on and your zeal for it. Alternate tunings are useful, and you can't alternate tune just any instrument. They're a bit of a compromise, but a compromise is sometimes better than not playing something at all. If you're shopping for a new Epiphone or a nondescript as yet electric guitar, take a look at Epiphone's Black Royale Limited Edition models. They are pretty and priced right. If you want to try to approximate the sound of a strum rose, give it a shot using the two-tip method with a Raptor pick. You may find it's close enough and it takes care of your jonesing that has been unrequited for so long. Just because it may not be the throes of summer where you are doesn't mean that you may not still need to use your humidifier for your guitar or guitars. If you have less than 40% humidity in the air where your guitar lives, humidify it. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 089 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mention that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which is G-U-I-T-A-R, TechniqueTutor.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not always a tweeting maniac, but I do tweet to update anyone following me with my guitar-y stuff and retweet what I think is interesting. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, I am hoping to put a link for you to subscribe to the podcast, but for now, iTunes is the most useful way. I also hope to create a link by which you can subscribe to the show notes. FeedBurner caught me off guard, and their change is a bit of a setback for all of us who distribute content through them. I will try to get those links up this week, but I can't make any promises. Rest assured, it's on the front burner. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen, Orange, and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, the Village of Ramapo, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Sloatsburg, Suffern, Tallman, Tuxedo, Tuxedo Park, Upper Saddle River, Viola, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Whether you are a beginner guitarist, a gigging pro, or any level in between, a genuine Raptor guitar pick will catapult your playing forward. Visit RaptorPicksUSA.com to order yours today. Practice, have a great week. I'll do my best to get the show and show notes efficiently syndicated and accessible to as many people as I can. In the meantime, iTunes is my best recommendation. Until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, trying to do my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.